Hello and welcome. You're listening to podcast number one for the lecture on heuristic and informed search. Our agenda for today is shown on slide two. We will look in more detail into how we can use knowledge during search. We want to evaluate our search states by using so-called heuristics. And in particular, we will look into heuristics of specific properties, namely so-called admissible and monotone or consistent heuristics. In this lecture, we look at three different algorithms that are using heuristics. In particular, we will study greedy best first search, and we will look into a very famous AI algorithm, which is A*. And a variant of it, which is iterative deepening A*. And finally, we'll look into some newer work concerning bidirectional search. At the end of this lecture, we will discuss some techniques that can help us to find good heuristics. Slide 3 shows you recommended reading. In particular, we will deal with material from Chapter 3, from the Russell Norvig book on solving problems by searching, and in more detail and with chapters 3.4, 3.5, and 3.6. And at the bottom, you also see some optional reading about the bidirectional search algorithms that we will talk about. So we've seen already in the last lecture that we need to somehow determine the next node for expansion. When we do uninformed search, we do this in a very systematic way. So we have some systematic procedure to organize our frontier, and we've seen that we can, for example, do this by maintaining first in, first out, or last in, first out queues for depth first and breadth first search. Now we want to do some more informed search. So we want to find a way that we can actually estimate the value of a node, and this value will help us to select the next node for expansion. And to do this, we define an evaluation function f of s that assigns a number to each node. On slide 5, we resume our example from the last lecture. So we've seen that we have states, and we also have actions with action costs, and we can use this to compute the current path costs, g. So for each state, we know the value of g. For example, if you look in the upper half of this graph, you see state S4. We have reached state S4 by a path based on using action A with cost 2, and then followed by action C with cost 3. And this leads us to a path cost of 5. Now it would be very handy if we had some heuristic function that would estimate the distance to the goal state. And for example, here we see a heuristic value of 5 assigned to this state. In the middle of the graph, you see another path that led us to state S5 with path cost 7, and here our heuristic function h returns the value of 0 to the goal. So h is an estimate of the costs from the current state s to a goal state. And in the next slides, we will learn how we can actually define good functions for h and what properties these functions should have. So let us define a heuristic function h. So we have given a problem, and it has a set of states. A heuristic function is a function that assigns a rational number to each of these states. So the smallest possible value of a state is 0, and we define our function in a way that it assigns 0 to every goal state. States that are dead ends are assigned the value infinity. So this means from these states the goal is unreachable, and our heuristic functions should ideally reflect this. As we introduced earlier, The star notation tells us the optimal value. So h star of s is the real goal distance of s to a goal state. This is the perfect heuristic. So if we had this heuristic h star, then from any state s in the search space, we knew the exact distance to the goal, and we could make a perfect choice of the next action. It is important to note that the value of h only depends on the state. It does not depend on the path that we followed so far to construct the partial solution and to reach this state. So h is defined independently of the cost g. So heuristic functions should have specific properties. First, we want them to be efficiently to compute. So the idea is that the heuristic function saves us time when searching through a large search space. So if we spend a lot of time computing the heuristic function, then we lose the time that we save on the exploration of states in the computation of the heuristic function. So the extreme case would be that it's completely uninformative. So it would, for example, assign zero to any state S. But of course, then it would not actually help us in guiding the search. Furthermore, the heuristic function should be informative. So the ideal heuristic function gives us the exact distance to the goal. So as close as we can get with the function h star to this ideal heuristic function, This would be very nice. But on the other hand, we can see that computing such a function h star is possible, but it would violate the first principle, so it would not be efficient to compute. Finally, we want h star to assign zero to a goal state and an evaluation larger than zero, so some positive number, to any other state. So this was already part of our definition of a heuristic. Furthermore, there are two important properties that we want our heuristic function h to have. H should be admissible, and it should also be consistent. So ideally, we at least have heuristics that somehow balance the first four properties. Consistency for complex application domains is not so easy to achieve, but it's nevertheless possible. So in the ideal case, we satisfy all five properties. We have a consistent heuristic, and it's also efficient to compute. On slide 8, we further discuss admissibility of our heuristic function. So we say that a heuristic is admissible if it underestimates the true costs. So the value of the heuristic on any state in our search space is smaller or equal to the true cost of reaching the goal from this state. So in this sense, h is an optimistic estimation. So we have a lower bound on the goal distance, and the real solution in the end will always have higher costs than the function h estimates. The next property is consistency, or sometimes also called monotonicity. We say that if a heuristic function is consistent, if for all transitions it satisfies the equation marked in red. So this says that the difference in the decrease of the heuristic function is always smaller or equal than the true action cost. So we have a transition from a state S to a successor state S prime. We use the action A to go from S to S prime. Action A has cost C, and the heuristic function values of both states can actually not be larger than these costs. So this means that the the heuristic estimate for state S must be smaller than the true action costs for going from S to S prime, plus the heuristic estimate of the state S prime. And this is a form of the triangle inequality. So the sum of the lengths of any two sides of a triangle must be greater or equal than the length of the remaining side. And you see the situation depicted here in the little drawing. So to go from S to S prime, we use cos C for the action A. When we are in state S and we estimate the distance to the goal, we obtain the value h of s. For s prime, we obtain the value h of s prime. So this means that the heuristic value cannot decrease by more than the cost of the action. On slide 10, we show an important property of heuristics. So once we have a consistent heuristic, then we also know immediately that it is admissible. So consistency is in fact a stronger property than admissibility. The other direction does not hold. So once we have an admissible heuristic, it's not guaranteed that it's also consistent. So we have to prove consistency separately. So let's now prove the theorem. So let's assume we have a heuristic function and this heuristic function h is consistent, then we also know that h is admissible. So what does this mean? So let's assume we have a state transition from state S to S prime using some action A. Then by the definition of consistency, we know that the decrease in the heuristic estimate of these two states is bound by the action costs. And from this it follows that the heuristic estimate on any state will always underestimate the true costs. So it means that a consistent heuristic also never overestimates the costs to the goals. So we see here another figure that explains a little bit what happens. So in state S0, we have the heuristic value h of S0. We apply a first action A1. We invest cost C of this action, and the heuristic estimate of h S1 should actually then decline in a similar way. So we take the definition of consistency, which defines that this difference between the heuristic values is bounded by the action costs, and reformulated as an upper bound on the heuristic estimate of state S. So we know that the heuristic estimate of state S will be smaller or equal than the heuristic estimate of its successor state S prime, plus the cost of the action that takes us from S to S prime. So let's look into the proof on slide 11. We need to show for all states that our heuristic function always underestimates the true costs to the goal. So if we have states from where the goal is unreachable, our heuristic function assigns the value of infinity. And this is by definition. And so, and the value for the true costs to reach the goal from a state where the goal in fact is not unreachable is also infinite. So in this case, it's trivially satisfied. H star will is like, or the value of h on s is equal to the value of h star on s for this dead end states. For all other states, we show the claim by induction over the length of the cheapest path to a goal state. So the base case is that S is a goal state. So then we know that our heuristic function will assign 0 to this goal state. The true cost to reach the goal from from a goal state is also 0, because we are already in a state satisfying the goal. So here again, we have in fact h of s equals h star of s, and both have the value of 0. So now we do the step case. And here it's important to note that we actually go by induction on from n to n plus in this induction step. So we go, we increase the path length, but this also means we go back from state S prime to predecessor state S. So let's assume we have this some state S prime, and this has the cheapest goal path of length n. Then its predecessor's state that we left by applying the action A to get to S prime has a cheapest goal path of length n plus 1. So this is what we actually want to now show also then, and how this impacts the values of the heuristic function. So we know that our heuristic function h is consistent. So this means by definition that we have h of s minus h of s prime is smaller or equal than the action costs. So now we simply reformulate this equation, and this is the assumption that our theorem makes. So it leads us to statement A. Now we know that s prime has the cheapest goal of path length n. And as our heuristic on the state S prime is admissible by the induction hypothesis, we know that H of S prime is underestimates the true costs of getting from S prime to the goal state. We also know in equation C that we consider a cheapest path, and that this cheapest path has optimal costs. So this means that h star of s is the equals h star of s prime plus the action costs. Now we can actually insert b into a and replace h of s star. H of s prime, sorry. So this this leads to the equation D. So we take this upper bound on h on s prime and insert this value into equation A. So this leads now to an upper bound on h of s expressed by the value of the true distance from s prime to the goal state by computed by h star plus the action costs. Now note that actually the left side of equation D equals the right hand side of equation D actually equals the right hand side of equation C. This means we can replace the right hand side of equation D by the equality expressed in equation C. And this exactly leads us to our desired claim, namely that H of S is bounded by H star of S. So our heuristic is admissible and underestimates the true costs to the goal. So on slide 12, we look at our first heuristic search algorithm. So this algorithm actually uses only the heuristic part of our evaluation function f on s. It it expands the node that is estimated as being closest to the goal. It does not consider the current path cost g. So in this sense, we can actually consider it as a kind of counterpart to uniform cost search. Slide 13 shows you the GBFS algorithm. So this algorithm takes the heuristic values and organizes the frontier as a priority queue ordered by ascending values of h. So it will pick the node for expansion first that has the lowest h value. It also again checks for the duplicates in the frontier and in the explored set. So let's look at the Romania travel example, what this algorithm does on our map of cities. So our function h here is the aerial distances to Bucharest. So Bucharest is our goal state, and h always gives us the distance of each city to this goal state city. So you see, for example, that the distance to Bucharest from Bucharest is zero, as we required it in the definition of the heuristic function, and then all other cities have some positive value. This heuristic is easily seen to be admissible, because aerial distances always underestimate the real distances when we drive on streets. So let's look at the computation of this heuristic function. So on slide 15, we see what the algorithm actually does. Our initial state is errored. This has a heuristic estimate of 366. Now we expand it and we get three successor states: Sibiu, Timișoara, and Sirint. Each of them has a different heuristic estimate, but the cheapest node is Sibiu. So we continue expanding this node. We get four possible successor states, and the cheapest of it is Făgăraș. So we continue our trip on this state. And finally, we read Bucharest in the last expansion. So you can easily see that this trip is obviously not an optimal solution when you explore the map by yourself. So this leads us to the properties of GBSFS on slide 16. The algorithm is complete when we have finite state spaces and when we use duplicate elimination. It is not guaranteed to be optimal. It finds good solutions quickly, but these solutions do not have any guarantees on their solution costs. Time and space complexity is b to the power of m, and m is the maximum depth of the search space. So again, we need, in the worst case, to invest an exponential effort to find a good solution. On slide 70, we introduce A*. A* is a very famous algorithm, already developed in the 60s, and it's still widely used if search spaces are not growing too big. So in case you have heard the podcast on the introduction lecture, there we have an overview slide that I put together on showing you the progress that is made in state-based search. And heuristic search scales up to, let's say, several millions of states, or hundreds maybe of millions of states, but definitely not more. Systematic uninformed search usually scales to maybe up to a million of states. We get one order of magnitude further if we have good heuristics, but of course very large problems even have larger search spaces. So A* puts now both ideas together. So it uses H of S and combines it with G of S. And ideally, our heuristic is admissible and consistent. Slide 18 summarizes the H* algorithm. It actually works exactly as uniform cost search, but it organizes our frontier using the F function value. Slide 19 summarizes the properties of A*. So first, A* is complete. So if a solution exists, A* will find it, provided that we have finite branching, so a finite state space, and all actions have positive and finite costs, which is usually the case, and this is also how we defined our cost functions and state spaces in the beginning of this course. As a very nice property, A star is optimal. So the first solution it returns has minimum costs if H star it is missable, if our search a space has the structure of a tree, or if H star is consistent and our search space has the structure of a graph. Under an admissible heuristics and in a graph-based search space, A star needs to expand actually all nodes much further and do a technique that is called called reopening. So it means that we really have to expand a search as long as we are sure that we find no better solution of lower costs. If you think of the algorithm, it will return a first solution that has some cost value, and now we have to expand the search space a little larger until actually the F value the past costs exceed the costs of the first known solution. So until we are sure that no cheaper solution exists. So again, time and space complexity of A star is exponential. But there are some improvements of this algorithm that actually help us to do or to limit the growth of space complexity in a sub-exponential way. Let's look on slide 21 and on our example what happens when we now search with A star on this map. So again, we have given the heuristic function with the aerial distances to our goal state. So slide 22 shows us what happens. So we start in the initial state Arad. It has past cost 0 and heuristic estimate 366. So the F value of the state is 366. Now we expand the state. We get 3 successor states. And for each state, we add the sum of the past costs, which is the cost of traveling from Arad to this city. So from Arad to Sibiu, the map showed us 140. To Timisoara, it showed us 118. And to Sorind, it showed us 75. And to this value, we add the heuristic estimate from the aerial distance table. So we see here the sum, and we see that Sibiu gets actually the best evaluation. So now from Sibiu we can explore 4 more cities. Of course we could go back to Arad, but we have explored Arad already, so we actually prune it immediately from the search space. Then we add 3 new cities, and you see that the past costs grow. Now we have to add the costs of the new action that takes us to the city, plus we add the heuristic estimate. And you can also see that, for example, the heuristic estimate from Sibiu to Fagaras is smaller than... Now let me put it differently. So the distance from Sibiu to Bucharest was 253, but from Fagaras to Bucharest it's only 176. But overall it's the sum that counts. Fagaras is the second most expensive node, and we actually have the node of Rimniku-Wilcea as the least cost node. So we actually decide to expand this node. It takes us, for example, to Craiova and to Pitești, but Pitești is cheaper. So from Pitești we can also reach Bucharest, and we have costs 418. And the important thing is that we always reorder our frontier. So when you look at the second lowest level, we have already, of course, encountered Bucharest as a gold state, but it was added in the second position of our frontier. So we look at Pitești first and then expand this node first. So what F in fact does, and you see this explained on slide 23, it adds contours to our search space. So it starts to fan out from the start node, but somehow explores the search space in these F-based contours of and bands of increasing F costs. You can actually see that the costs of the solutions grow, the heuristic values decrease, and this, in the ideal case, helps the algorithm to really focus on a narrow band that hopefully directly deletes it then to the gold state. With this, let me end this podcast.